This is an interview with Thomas L. Walters for Youngstown State University, mining by Ellen Daniels at 1613 East Chestnut on May 22nd, 1972 at 4:30 p.m.
What got you started into mining?
My father started me in it in the first place. Pick work, digging our own coal. Of course, he worked in the mine too. And that got me interested.
And then what got interested in mining? Was it just for financial end, or was it just a...
Oh, no. Well, to make a living. That's about the only thing there was around in them days, around here, that you could make any money at. The other in the shops and so on. Well, I was raised on a farm, and of course we'd been in town. I suppose it would have a different work, but out there, why? That's the reason I got in the mine.
Was it a family mine first, or was it?
No, it was a company mine.
Do you remember what the company mine name was?
Kirk Dunn Coal Company, at Coleman. That's what they called it, and. Oh, they run a lot of coal there. I loaded coal, helped on mining machines, and did about everything. Laid track and everything there was to do. Run haulage motors, electric locomotive, that is. Timber, setting up posts, and anything there was to do.
What was the size of the mine? Talking about the,
you mean the tonnage or the height?
The height and
around 3'10".
And did it go in very far?
Oh yes, went in for I don't know how many, 2 or 3 miles, and then spread out. I don't know how many miles it was. They run for years. They run 500 ton of coal a day there for years. And something happened to it. They got the hog in it, I guess. Some people would come in there later, caved it in. And they got the water from up above. They call it, excuse me, number 4 water. And they just couldn't pump it. Too much of it. That water, by the way, would eat the pipes up overnight. Put a steel pipe in, or a pump, for instance, with a brass lining, it would eat that up overnight. Acid. And watch the pumps close, and that wooden pipe. They got a lot of wooden pipe to pump the water.
Because the wood could withstand that acid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the pipe. With a 6 or 8 inch hole in.
Now, did you have any special equipment when you started, except for your...
No, just your drills, sure. We have a thread, we call a thread bar, and a set of drills that drills the holes. And that's about all, I guess. Shovel and an axe, and your picks, and that's about all you need. Outside of muscle.
Yeah. Did you have any special type of clothing or anything?
Not in them days. Everything was soft hats and stuff. Nowadays it's all hard hats and more safety precautions now. We did things then they wouldn't even lie to think about now.
Such as what?
Oh, go in the, they had gas there, see, and we'd go in there and light it, burn it out instead of fanning it out with it. You're supposed to have enough air to push it out and make it safe. But we just go up in an old room and light it, and then go to work. Of course, you have to get down on the bottom when you light it because it comes back over you. But it'll only come down, depends on how much there is. Just a little bit, it'll just come down about that far, and you're down here. And
it, yeah, so it's like about 2 feet of
the yeah, gas. Come down about 2 feet, then it'll go back till it burns out. Maybe it'll go from here to the across the street sometimes. And then it'll be hot in there for a little while.
Was it an even temperature in there all the time?
Yeah, pretty even. Back in, oh, say half a mile, it'll stay about the same all year round.
Did you have very much water to contend with when you were taking a cold? In other words, did you work in water?
Not too much, no, not in that coma. I did it at shaft over on the depot road, Callahan's. Mm-hmm. It just 5 minutes after you get in there, you'd just be so, that's the way you worked all day. Cold. Oof. But you had to keep working.
Yeah.
And you'd freeze.
Now, did you come out for, let's say, lunch, or did you eat your lunch?
Oh, no. No, you stay in there when you, sorry, just keep going when you got done. Got your shift in or whatever you figured on doing. Usually we map out so much. Mm-hmm. Make a couple of cuts or whatever. So many cars. And then I'd hurry up and my place was so wet, I drove entry. The places weren't all that wet, but mine was, because it's in the solid coal. Mm-hmm. And they would come in and cut me with a machine right away. And I'd get everything done and go. Sometimes I'd get home early.
Now, what were your wages at that point in time, let's say in the
1920s? I think they were 7.5. And they tried to make the tonnage come to that. So I always worked tonnage, usually. You know, I think they figured around 8 ton to make you a shift. Just figured out by the ton, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you walk back in or did you ride cars?
We rode cars in there.
Mm-hmm. Now, all your cars were always motorized from the beginning? Or?
Well, they had an electric locomotive, just like an engine on a railroad on its mar. Mm-hmm. And it pulled the cars in and out. They had motor cars on there.
When you, going back a little bit later, with your dad, did you ever use any animals or anything?
Oh, yeah. Use mules. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what they used first. In the same mine, that's the way they opened it up.
Now, could the mules see in the mines? Or
they seemed to. Mm-hmm.
Because I had heard that, yeah. Some of the mules were blind.
Because the mules go through. You have, where you have water. You have a track. Say it's going in around here. And they keep digging holes deeper and deeper till they put her knee deep on that mule. And you look them holes every time. In the dark. Right through.
Now, how long did they use the mule for, you know?
Well, they used mules up until, well, some places on in the 30s. Ponies and stuff. In the small mines, these little mines. Of course, in the big mines, they use all electric.
How did the depression affect you in your coal mine where you worked in?
Well, of course, that mine was done. They caved it in before. In about 27 or 28, I think they finished that mine up at Coleman. Then I just fooled around with these little country mines in the winter. I worked some of the pottery over here.
What were some of the names of some of the mines, the little mines that you worked at?
Walter Eels. Walter and Frank Eels on the mine. Of course, I did name this other one. John Chestnut, he was an old coal miner. He had a little mine. And John Everett had a mine down at Rogers. Worked for him some. That was a machine mine. It was bigger. Well, actually, they took the equipment from a coalman down there.
Oh.
He was mixed up with that, with that company somehow. And Tom Howell, of course, Guilford coal mine, mine foreman there for 12 years. Callahan Mining Company, that's another one, about 12 years there. And I'll see. Well, of course, Merrick, he ain't hardly worth mentioning. A fellow named Merrick down by Malvern, he had a fair-sized mine. He made quite a bit of money. He had a nice piece of coal, deep mine.
or did it wait until?
No, I think about 36, 35, 6 long in there. Mm-hmm.
Then you could start to work full time again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I went back to mine in 37 for Callahan Mine Company. Then there was another little mine that was, that was right across the railroad track from Coleman. Bill Wolf. Bill and Emmett and Bob, they owned it. Wolf. And by the way, years ago, there was a man and two mules and I don't know how many cars was blowed clear out across the, clear outside. They had gas in there, see, an explosion. I never seen that or anything. I heard of it when I was a kid. Heard them tell about it.
Now this is what mine?
That's the Wolf Mine.
And where's that located?
On the right side of the track going towards Niles. On the other side of, that's right at Coleman. Right across on the right side. Coleman's on the left side of the creek. And this is on the right.
Right now, Coleman is located exactly but, where?
It's about a mile, a mile and a half above Logtown, where Logtown is.
Yeah.
Just keep going right up along for the railroad on the left side.
See, that's where I thought you kept saying railroad, and I kept thinking over here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this, of course, I worked in that little mine for Wolf after that explosion. I was all through there where they claim it blew these men out. I brought the mules and track, or not track, the cars, straight out, clear across the road. The old timers tell of it.
Were there any, as time went on, was there any safety features or federal inspectors or state inspectors coming in?
Well, yeah, they was pretty, they was just starting there. Well, he didn't have enough men when I was there to bother with them. No, I think they have a law now that there's just one man they can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But out at Guilford and Callahan's, they had safety regulations. Kept things pretty good. We had what is it they give you for safety? Anyhow, about 8 years in a row, we got one of those. I can't think of the name of it. Award? Yeah, I guess that's it.
Did you ever have any problems working in the mine?
No. I had a lot of them. I don't know just what.
Something that was unusual compared to the regular?
Well, yes, we had a lot of bad slate in one of the mines. And that's, you had to watch awful close.
Why is, you have to watch slate?
It loosens up. Sometimes the air will loosen it, and then if there's water in it, that'll loosen it too. Then you've got to be awful careful when you shoot your way through whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you take up bottom to make your height, and sometimes you shoot slate down to make the height for the motors and such like.
And that
was sand rock there at Callahan's, and it would slip away from the, there was nothing to hold it. You didn't know where it was at, where it was real good and where it wasn't. So you'd be awful careful.
When you went through, did you use wooden beams as you went through?
Some places, yeah. Mm-hmm. Timbers.
Yeah. Then, mm-hmm. Did you use any steel beams in?
Yeah, we used a few of them in different mines.
Does that depend upon what type of, whether you have, you know, what type of dirt's around it, or?
At Coleman, on the left side of the creek, going north, I'd say, the top was real good. Didn't have a bit of bother with it. Only just once in a great while. Across the creek was no good at all. Just as soon as you break the slate up a couple of feet or 3 feet, as soon as the air hit it, it kept working.
Mm-hmm.
It just kept going up and up. So it'd go probably 15 feet high. and then start on the pillars and it'd start working them in. Mm-hmm. Just like a drum.
Did they take any of the slate out of the mine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, that would be what I would assume that they would use around here on walkways and roofs.
No, this side of these little mines is no good for that. They just dump it over the hill. And then the sulfur balls and such like would get mixed up with it and they'd get on fire. And that's where you get your red dog for the road. They used to call it red dog, I suppose they still do.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll burn, man. It really burns.
Now, you said sulfur balls. What's the sulfur ball?
It's a real hard substance in the coal. Some of it's in streaks, but a large part of it in that number three coal is in, well, it'll be flat, maybe like a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Only bigger, some of them. And maybe thick like that, and then some of them thicker. All sizes. No, you just can't break it. It's really hard.
Now, when you're talking about, you know, lifting stuff, with the powder and so forth that you had, did you have to buy your own powder?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How much, do you remember how much that cost?
Yeah, I think it was cheap at that time. I think about $5 or $6 for 50 pounds, I think, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Was there any particular way in which you, placed the charge, or how
did
you place it?
Yeah, it would take. When we first, the old timers, they had loose powder,
mm-hmm.
And we'd get in a keg, we'd just punch a hole in it with a pick, and then pour it out, and we'd make a paper. Take a stick and roll it.
Mm-hmm.
Roll a thing about maybe an inch. It depends on how big a hole you had. You could make them different sizes and fill that up and make maybe a foot long or 2 feet long, or as much as you wanted to blow the coal down, or slate or whatever. And then they got stick powder. That was better. It was all wrapped up in wax paper. Now you could, we used squibs at that time. That's a little thing like a fine straw with a lot of powder in it and wax, and there's a wax end on it. Stick that in your, after you tamp the hole up, you have a copper needle. Put your powder back in there and then put the needle in. And if there's two guys, one can throw the dirt in while the other punches it in, see?
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull the needle out, there's a hole. Put the squib in, lighter and go.
An auger.
Yeah, we'd have a 2 or 2.5 foot drill, and a 4 foot, and then a 6, and a thread bar for a post up in the roof and down here, and then you had a little box, and you put on this gadget would lock over the threads.
Mm-hmm.
Turn her in, take it down, put the other end in, so you got your hole deep enough. A lot of times I use what they call a breast auger. That's a piece of iron comes around you this way, and there's a thing with a hole in, and you stick the handle in there, and then it had two cranks on it. Your drill was on the end. You just stick that up again there and push. Keep turning.
In other words, it's really you use your stomach and
yeah.
Your back to hold it. Yeah.
Called a breast auger. I don't know why. It's a stomach auger.
I was going to say, it's almost like the old-fashioned drill where you had the two,
yeah.
What you think of as a carpenter.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Oh.
Only we used to make them ourselves, you know. Hammer them out.
Now, you said you'd moved up to what you call a foreman's position. Why did you say that it was different compared to the foremans in the larger mines?
Well, these little mines, say they can't afford to pay. Like they do in the big mines. They don't have enough production. So the little boss, he's got to take care of the whole ball of wax. He's the electrician, the mine boss, and the track man sometimes, you know, when your men's off and you have trouble with the track, you have to fix it. When something breaks down, you got to fix that too. A lot of the time, we had plenty of help, but you have coal diggers, they're pretty rough on the bottle, you know, and they don't work steady.
Yeah.
Just when you need them, you don't have them.
Now, coal diggers, are they the same thing as coal miners? Or
yeah, that's it, coal diggers. We call them diggers.
Okay.
Not niggers, coal diggers.
When did you finally retire from mining?
61. I went to the machine shop from there.
Yeah. Now, was there a great change between the mines in the 20s and 30s when you retired?
Yeah, quite a bit.
In what way?
Big change. Well, they had different machinery. Now, especially they have, they have a machine that'll go right in there and dig it. You don't even have to shoot it. And then the timber different. They have, they have big hydraulic jacks they put up. And then they'll take them down after they get the coal, set up another set over here, pull these out and let that fall in. They take all the coal, take everything.
Did you take all the coal when you were going through?
We did out at Guilford. We had to, on account of had a clay bottom, it would squeeze. Just shove right down if you didn't take it. Take it all out and let it fall, it would squeeze you and back over where you're working.
Did you work in like little rooms when you were in the 20s and 30s, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you turn about every 30 feet, depends on how wide you want your room. And we'd run about a 24-foot room every stagger them, one on one side, one on the other. Well, of course, that depends on what kind of an entry you have, too.
Now, did you have very many air shafts coming down for you? Or?
No, we didn't have, we only had the main entry and the one air shaft in that mine at Guilford there. Of course, it wasn't in over, I suppose, a mile altogether. It went in and then around so-and-so. Had some gas wells out there. No gas, though, no gas in the mine.
Well, in other words, these gas wells are totally separate in another area.
Mm-hmm. Well, we cut into one of them, or they did, before I went there. It had two casings on it.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to have. And it still was saved.
Yeah.
So I welded it up and cemented it all up. The rest of them, we were lucky that had a good surveyor. Same way you do outside.
Okay, in other words, when you're underneath, you can put a surveyor can go.
Put a mark in the roof and drill a little hole in the roof, put a wooden hickey in there, and then they make a map of that, a memorandum of it, and then he'll make a map when he gets home.
Okay, and then we'll.
You'll come out and go right back over that same. Whichever way it went.
In other words, after they do it on, they measure it underneath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And do they then go on top and then measure it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Point exactly.
Mm-hmm. And if they know what they're doing, they'll put it right on the nose. If this fellow didn't know too much, they'd run them into that gas well.
Yes, I would say so. Going back a little further, you said you lived on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a large farm or a small farm?
Oh, it was about 100 acres in the farm, I imagine.
Okay.
And my dad worked in the mine.
In other words, the farm was just kind of secondary. Nothing
to
take care of the food.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. The mine was under the farm, actually, out there in Coleman.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't own it.
Oh, you didn't?
We just ran the farm.
The owner was getting
some
money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got a nickel a ton at that time. Yeah, nickel a ton.
Doesn't sound
and
like
500 ton a day. That old farmer was making money, see?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Back then.
Definitely.
Yeah, they took hundreds of tons out of one day. Well, Harley Kelch, I don't know if you know him or not. He owned a big farm. I don't know who owns that now, but there's no coal on it to speak of.
They've already got stripped.
Clear over to that lake I was telling you about, Midway Lake. They stole that coal back in there. They got that all.
So in other words, there's a lot of areas that are totally out of coal with you. Is that the reason why they're going into strip mining?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of deep coal around. But as long as they can strip it, why? They claim that's cheap, I don't know. There's a lot of good coal back of where Coleman was on, well, the old McKinley home, scout camp.
Mm-hmm.
Go on up, you know where Art Tritton lives? Or did?
I think so,
yes. Well, anyhow, you know that road goes back to 172.
Mm-hmm.
That's all solid number three coal. Way, I don't know where it goes. Good coal, too. But it's deep.
Mm-hmm. So that would require an underground line.
Yeah. Well, it's good and hard. It's not good for steam, they claim. It makes too much gunk in the air.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sulfur in it. Makes a lot of soot, too. It's good for your house or something. But I don't suppose they would use it, unless they had to in the higher up coal. About every 30 feet, there's a vein. Come on up 5, 4, or whatever. Six and seven around here is pretty good. Not very thick, but good coal.
And that would be coal that would be, you know, wouldn't leave out so much pollutant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say number seven would be the best. But there's only a couple of feet of it around here that I know of. Some of it's lower than that, 18 inches.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it's more profitable to strip mine it than it
would be. Mm-hmm. If it's up closer to the surface. I guess they strip some deep coal now, though, with those big shovels. I don't know how deep they do go.
Yeah, there's that one from Cavus.
Yeah, that's really...
That would be a deep...
Takes as much as a house. A scoop, I guess.
Was the coal miners at UMW, was that going back in the
20s? Yeah, that was going back in the 20s. And I remember they had a strike in about 22 or 3, and I think that whipped them around here, West Point. They had a big mine down there too. The same company owned this, Howard Coleman owned that, and I think that whipped them around here.
Now why do you say that? What happened?
Well, they just started them out, I guess. Anyhow, they went to work back at Coleman. Union.
Oh, okay.
And I think they did down at West Point too. They just wouldn't pay any more money and didn't, things were pretty rough.
Yeah.
Wound up they didn't have to pay anymore. But that's what I say about out there at that lake. They stole all that coal under there, and then it tried to cave it in. It wouldn't cave, it just squeezed. And they got all that number four water in there and lost their mind.
Yeah. Well, they asked for it.
They got her. They couldn't pump it.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything.
Sometimes there's some less. About their mines?
Well, there's some of them, yeah. I don't know what I could tell you. Tell you a story about a mule I was driving one day. Would that be all right? From Water Eel. And it was back in the mine, and that little mule, I was just working extra driving the mule. I usually dug coal. And I turned around to hitch her on the car. When you hitch her on the car, she's gone. Well, I didn't know that. I hitched her on the car anyhow, and she come through the harness. She left me. Left the harness sitting there. She ran away. I suppose she went 5 miles. And I went out and told Walter, and he went and got her. And she went right through all them harness. And just as hard as she could go, just as soon as she'd turn around, she would go. But we got her back in. I worked her. Oh, probably a couple of weeks. And I didn't have no trouble with her after that. I'd feed her and give her a chew of tobacco once in a while. They like tobacco. They'll go clear up in the room, get it out of your pocket if you got any in there. Wherever they can go, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were in the mines, did you have any difficulty when you ate?
When I ate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Certain things you couldn't eat, like apples and all. Oh, different things would give you a heartburn. Bend over in the water and run out of your mouth.
Did you ever have to take anything down with you in your bucket to help you in case you did have a pie or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I've taken a lot of stuff that way. But you get in the smoke and powder smoke and bad air, you know, and it ain't much helps to get out of there. Timber, the new timbering. They bolt the roof up now. They have big, long roof bolts. A machine that will drill a hole up in wherever they want it. And they put a long roof bolt and it has an expander on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And tighten that up, that holds the roof up. Yeah. This fellow down here, it has a tipple. I can't think of his name. He has a pretty good operation, I guess, down there. He has those big diggers. Then he has shuttle cars. That's a car that runs in and out. Instead of having track, it's a rubber-tired machine. Then he has belts, too. Brings the coal out. Some of them guys might give you some pretty good stuff. That's a newer way of mining.
Yeah.
And that's where they'll use those roof bolts. They'll have a place as big as this. With no timber in, running in and out.
Yeah, this would be about 14 feet, wouldn't it, by about 8?
Yeah, but it takes 28 feet to turn one of the machines around.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to have, they have to have pretty good space for them. Well, that's where it takes the roof bolts.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to have good roof, too.
Yes. If you have slate roof, they're going to have to do something.
That ain't for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Now I went down to see this fella when he first got these machines, and they had a big strip along the hillside there, 15 feet wide to start right off, 15 feet wide, and they had several places along there that way. Well, that cured me. I wouldn't even go in.
I don't blame you.
I'm used to having bad top all the time, you know.
Yeah.
They make our entries well up on the Brookwood. 8 feet. I think the one that's smaller than that, we cut them about 8 feet. And that's not very wide.
Oh, wow. No, that's not compared to the large rooms they have today.
Yeah, when you're bringing the cars out, you just don't have any room much on either side. But still, the roof would fall in after the air hit it. It would. That's where if we'd had these roof bolts back then, could have bolted it up and it stayed there. We had a big fan, a good one. We kept, well, you had to, 6,000, I think it was, cubic feet at the last breakthrough up in your far end of your works. If you didn't have it, those inspectors would be on your tail. They'd make you, we're up there.
Yeah, are you talking about state inspectors or federal?
Federal.
Federal.
State, too. Both of them, they make you do it. And that's a good idea. Those people have to have air.
When do you remember the state and federal inspectors first coming in?
Probably about 55 or 56, long in there. But they didn't have, if you didn't have 14 men, I believe it was. You didn't have to pay much attention to them.
Yeah.
Of course, they could make trouble for you, but you didn't have to do it. Everything they said. Well, he'd come in one day. This was a couple of years before we quit. We had 15 men. Usually, we always had more men than that, but they were, a lot of them was drinking, you know, and they wouldn't be there, and we never had over 14 men. This day, we had 15. So he had us.
Right.
We was under his jurisdiction from there on. They do some dirty things, too. But they're all right. They're good. They probably save a lot of lives. Make it a little better for the people that work in there.
Stop this right now, because I think it's pretty close to the end of the tape.
Down here on the Depot Road. He bought that.
Yeah.
From Tom Howell. Tom Howell Coal Company, I guess they call it. Then I worked over there a couple of years. That comes back in under Salem, all them new houses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them old works back under them.
they
don't know that.
Oh.
If you're going out there, it's on 62, I guess. There's a lot of new houses, and there's a sharp turn. There's an entry right under the road there. You wouldn't believe it, but it is. And, what was I going to tell you?
Now that was called what mine?
Brookwood.
Brookwood Mine.
Yeah, and Homer Callahan owned that. He bought it from Tom Howell. Well, then later, Tom Howell started this mine at Guilford that I was telling you about where the tipple was.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there to work for him later. So I was mixed up with all of them. Oh, we run a lot of coal there during the war, Callahan's. Mm-hmm. 250 ton a day out of that hauler down in there. We hauled 50 some cars of rock out of there every day that fell on the, besides what they'd shoot in the entries.
Yeah.
It would fall on the road, the little cars there, they hold 3,000 maybe. 50 some cars a day we averaged.
Wow. That's a lot of rock.